Hello and welcome to CITR. You are listening to Unceded Airwaves, broadcasting from unceded ancestral and traditional territory of the Hunkelmeenum-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Caelan Barr, and I'm a white settler of Irish background, and today I'm sitting with six youth from the Native Youth Program. Maybe we can begin by having each one of you introduce yourselves. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. I am from Three Nations. I am Simshian, Nishka, and Gitsan. I come from the House of Nice Youth.
Hello, my name is Letitia. I'm from Alert Bay, BC, a part of the Kokwakiwak Nation, and I'm hired with the Native Youth Program this year, hosted by the Museum of Anthropology.
Hello, my name is Carolina. I am half Heltsik up from the west coast of British Columbia in Bella Bella, and I'm also half Latina.
Hello, my name is Calvin. I'm from the Squamish and Kokwakiwak Nation, and I live in North Vancouver, British Columbia.
My name is Isaiah, and I'm from Alert Bay, BC, and part of the Kokwakiwak Nation.
Hi, my name is Dusty. Primarily, I am part of the Heltsik Nation.
Okay, well, thanks for those brief introductions, everybody. So let's get right into it. Maybe we can start by explaining a little bit. I'll put the question to you, Letitia, explaining a little bit about exactly what the Native Youth Program is.
All right, so the Native Youth Program is a seven-week program hosted by the Museum of Anthropology. And this year, our topic was Art My Relations, and so we've been basically spending time talking about the seven directions and art-based topics.
Okay, so cool. What kind of stuff do you do on through your daily routines at the program? Calvin, maybe you could talk about that, about some of the projects that you're involved in and what you're hired on specifically to do, and maybe talk about the exhibit.
So daily we like to two tours a day of the Lawrence Polyakwaiutun Unceded Territories exhibit, and we do workshops with various people who come in, and another workshop we're actually doing is this podcast itself.
Exactly, and that's a good segue. So today we're going to listen to one of the projects that the Native Youth Program has been involved in for the past 2 months, and that's constructing and today finishing and airing a podcast. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what the origins and kind of what the process for making the podcast that we're going to hear today is. So maybe Jennifer, you could speak to how this all got started. And I think it was in your first or second week when you did the spoken word workshop with Quentin. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yes, we did a spoken word workshop with Quentin Nice. And he showed us some of his spoken word, and he also guided us through guided us through our pieces, and he kind of showed us what would be, or showed us different ways we can approach things in spoken word.
Mm-hmm. So you've each kind of completed and worked on a spoken word piece that's been worked into a larger podcast that we're going to hear here today. But after that, maybe Dusty, I'll put this question to you. After that, you came in and did training here at CITR, and maybe you could talk a little bit about exactly what that entailed and what kind of skills you learned and what that process was like.
So for the past few weeks, we were here at CITR learning how to use the program called Audacity. We learned different tools, part of the program, on how to edit sound and make it sound nice for the radio. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so, and then you've been here for, how many weeks have you all done at the radio station now? Is it four or five? Four? Okay. So maybe I'd like to talk about, so this is going to be the culmination of that larger project, but maybe Isaiah, you could talk about some of the things that you encountered and experienced while you were working on the podcast and what some of the struggles were, maybe some of the things that you learned and the obstacles that you had to kind of overcome as you guys were all producing this really, really amazing podcast.
It's kind of hard learning with the computer at first. Mm-hmm. Just kind of had to get used to it. And then I'm not really that great at writing, but.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, yeah.
Because it is kind of multimedia what we're going to be hearing today. And so a lot of the work was done, like Jennifer was saying, kind of early in the spoken word projects where you all were developing exactly what it would be. And then there was also the kind of production side of seeing how it was all going to fit together, these six kind of different pieces that connect in certain ways and are tied to the Lawrence Polyaqualeptum exhibit, and just the ways that that could be made into a functional whole. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting to listen to. So does anyone have any thoughts that they want to share before we launch into actually listening to the podcast itself? No. Okay, well, let's just take a listen, and then afterwards we'll spend a little bit of time talking with each one of you individually about the process of making it, what the pieces mean, and what your pieces are trying to communicate.
Aboriginal women make up 4.3% of the female population, yet in 2012 they accounted for 23% of murdered women.
We're seeing the same overall overrepresentation of Aboriginal victims here as we are in the rest of the country.
Jacko's niece Maisie and her friend Shannon left to go to a party. They never came back. The grassroots has long called for a national inquiry.
In order for it to be meaningful, it would really have to be led by the people.
The Prime Minister has refused a royal commission. Why not a parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Squires?
Will the Conservative government stop embarrassing Canada on the world stage and at least today agree to cooperate fully?
Territories. I have never surrendered this to you. I will never give this land up to any of you Canadians or your queen. Never. I will never give it up. I will never sing your national anthem. These are things that I stand true to. That's my feelings, and I'm not about to change those. That's why I make art the way I do, is that my time is now.
My name is Calvin.
Hello, my name is Dusty.
Gaila Kesla, Nugo Amgatu, Herin Gayutli, Lach Yilis, Gayutlin Lach, Slavitsis Mamtugila. Hello, my name is Leticia.
Hello, my name is Carolina.
Hello, my name is Jennifer.
Gaila Kesla, Nugo Amtlaspe, Herin Gayutli Yilis. We are six Indigenous youth, part of the Native Youth Program.
We are the next generation. This is a podcast about our reflection on the Lawrence Polyaqualeptum Unceded Territories exhibit at the Museum of Anthropology.
We are speaking from the traditional unceded territory of the Hunkaminian speaking Musqueam people. Unceded meaning not sold. Traded, given, or negotiated.
Who does it belong to?
It is traditional. It is ancestral.
With that being said, we would like to thank the Musqueam Nation as uninvited guests on their traditional territory where we work, learn, play, and live.
Before we continue, the topics that we are about to cover are of sensitive nature, especially to Indigenous people.
If you feel discomfort, we highly encourage you to endure your feelings and try to understand what our people continue to go through.
Good afternoon. My name is Carolina. I am a summer intern here at the Native Youth Program hosted by the Museum of Anthropology. We'll be giving you a tour around the Lawrence Polyaqualeptum Unceded Territories exhibit. It'll be approximately 30 minutes long, and we'll be each doing our own piece. To start off, I'd just like to thank our curators, Karen Dufek and Tanya Willard, for making this happen. And just a little bit of about Lawrence Paul Aquilipton is both his parents were political activists, they're activists, and they wanted Lawrence to be an activist too. He chose a more artistic route, but you'll see that a lot of his paintings do reflect on his engagement in politics. He is Coast Salish and Okanagan and Cowichan. And does anybody know what traditional territory we're on right now? No? No? So we're on the Musqueam, Hunkameen, and Speaking territory, and it's unceded, which means it is unsold, it's unbought, it's unbargained, it's traditional to the Musqueam people, and we are all guests on this land, or as Lawrence Paul likes to say, occupants. So yeah, we will start the tour off with a song just down in front of the gallery, so if we could just make our way down there and we'll start it off.
I was born in a world of racism, a world where criticism becomes your best friend. I grew up in a world with no rhyme or reason, where if you were the whitest, only then your voice would be heard. For years, I oppressed myself and the blood that ran through my veins. I hid my race under a Canadian flag because it was easier than to be called names. For years, my people suffered from genocide when the British raided our homelands and took our culture away. And what? You think this is okay? You think that a little bit of extra money and some flour makes it okay? The Canadians who aren't native are the ones who are praised. They are the ones who call the shots. Our beautiful land sold for oil. Our beautiful land used and abused. For too long, my people, our people, have been looked down upon. And what? You think this is okay? You think giving us free medical and education makes up for the way you treated us for decades? Canada, the most beautiful place on earth. Canada, where this government really doesn't care if the land gets destroyed. Lake by lake, they're slowly getting filled with shit. And for what reason? Because you want fucking money? And who cares if the waters are full of shit? At least it's on the reserve. You money-hungry freaks. No one owns the land, not even our people. So when we speak out against the misuse of our land, you say, the crazy tree-hugging Indians back at it again. We aren't taken seriously, and we aren't acknowledged for what we know. Not all of us are drunks, and not all of us are homeless. And what, you think this is okay? You bully our youth, and you label us as stupid chugs. And you think that a simple apology that someone else wrote for you to say on national television makes up for everything you put us through? Fuck no. You may not think we aren't educated, but we know a lot more than you know. You ignored our peaceful protests about protecting our land, and only if an officer is assaulted, that's when we are accounted for. You have the power to bring the worst out of us. Then the prejudice assumptions are flying around. You think that the money will help to buy our obedience? Keep your fucking money. I was born in a developing world, a world that may not seem so bad if you're white. And what? You think this is okay?
There's a hole in the sky. There's a woman fixed it.
Can you please tell me what you remember?
What do you mean, hokta enum hanak?
How are reserves made? What happened? Who?
Slow down, hokta enum hanak. Do you really want to hear this right now?
Yes, Nadeep.
Okay, we saw this funny-looking man, his skin much paler than ours, of the village, walking really funny, too, wearing things we've never seen before, making funny noises, which is how we speak now, Hokta Hinum Hanak.
Different languages were spoken, neither understood by one another. Different upbringings, different understandings. No agreements brought in place. Just different voices and different words. Those of darker skin moved to tiny areas of land. Compact, lost in bad paths, bad names, and alienated on their own area. Some were starved, some were raped. Scratch that, not some, all. Treated like animals for being one with the land. Incarcerated for miscommunication, for having different beliefs and traditions. Do you know the history? Some traditions depleted, some on the rim of being forgotten. Some not as well balanced as others, but nonetheless, all are tenacious. Let us take a second of silence for the dearly departed.
Do you know the history? Do you really think we could be brought down like that? The effects are still happening to further generations. You can't slaughter us like lambs and then pay us. Then say, whoops, get stuffed, and have a nice day. We will fight back with our traditions and our culture stronger than ever.
My name is Dusty. I am from the Heltsk Nation. Today, I'm going to be presenting you a poem / story. If we were to continue using all of our resources, the landscape would look so surreal, like a Salvador Dali painting. It would soon become reality. The depth of my perspective is not that deep when there is nothing to look at and nothing to see, besides flat land and chopped down trees. If we don't stop using all of our resources, the surreal landscape of a Salvador Dali painting will soon become reality. Trees do not grow on trees. The government uses oppressive power to get money from the people to get out of the debt that they put themselves in. If you look at it all, it is all kind of dumb. We've all put ourselves in this spot. The future will be very bleak if we do not take action now. The effects of global warming spread far and wide. Trees do not grow on trees. The depth of my perspective is not that deep when there's nothing to look at and nothing to see.
I am who I am, and that's indigenous, not religious, but that's my business. Indian all the way down to the nucleus. I am what I am, nothing you can do will change me. Beat me, bash me, try to force me into something I am not. Scrub my brown skin till it's raw, dye my hair blonde, burn me down to my molecular bonds, but my indigenous spirit lives on. I am here to stay, don't change my ways. I'm not your personal ball of clay. Let me be me, so here's your treaty. Till the rivers are dry, till the last tree is fell, I am First Nations all the way down to the cell.
Numa ceremony is over. I'm hoping that everyone is all right as I continue on to the next ceremony. I better get my regalia on too. I gotta spread the eagle down on our nice dirt floors. Spreaded the eagle down on our dance floor, and we're all one now. So we finished all the business that we had to get done. Now it's time to go on to the tzeka ceremony. Hamatsa dancer come through the front doors, I remind myself that he is coming from heaven, and I start to feel really happy, and my heart is getting bigger and bigger as the singers continue my heartbeat with the song they are singing. Our Hamatsa dancers are finished being initiated now. We're gonna get our ladies to do the tlokwasha now. Now, as usual, we will start with kwagyush, and we'll make our way down. Young lady dance is really amazing. I stand up and give her my strength. Serve them dinner, and then we'll sing feast songs afterwards.
Oh,
good with their feast songs. They sound really awesome. We better continue with our cloak washer. We just finished doing our Legwashtok ladies dance. We better move on to our next ceremony now. As we move on to our next ceremony, we're making sure that nobody is wearing their cedar bark hats because it's the Tlatsala ceremony. Tlatsala dancers lined up now. The attendants are doing a great job with making everybody laugh, as Polish seems to be a success so far. And I guess we'll be moving on to our Amlala, the fun dance, where everybody laughs and cheers. Singers are singing the fun dance songs now. Everybody's having a great time and giving out gifts. Everything turned out really great at this polish. Everybody made my heart really happy.
Hey!
have you done to us? There's nothing that I can say that will ever change what happened to my people. I have no way to get back what was stolen. I hate you. To kill the Indian in the child, you say. To strip me of my cultural beliefs and traditions, I say. Slowly dying. Abused sexually, physically, emotionally. I'm just a child. How can you do this to a child? These funny-looking men and women dressed in white and black don't understand. And neither do I. She slaps me so hard that I fall to the ground. I'm scared and I miss my mama and my daddy. I have no idea why she's mad at me. I watch as the priest takes scissors to all the young girls and boys that are in the line, chopping their hair off until it's shorter than where the earlobes are aligned. We are given clothing that is similar to what these men and women are wearing. It's strange to me. There's no softness like the elkskin moccasins and rabbit fur dresses we wore in the village. After this, we're served dinner. I can barely handle it. The food is not fresh and there are worms in my potatoes. I wonder what Mama and Daddy are eating. After dinner, we bath, but I don't think this is water. It smells funny. The white lady is scrubbing up my skin with a brush that looks like it should be used to brush horses. It stings. My skin is raw. It looks like hunted moose meat that is skinned and being prepped to feed my family. The pain is unbearable. Each time I cry, I'm slapped and dunked into the chemical. It's bleach. By bedtime, I can hear across the room that there are little girls softly crying under their blankets. They are lonely too. No one seems to care. I hate you. Each time I tried speaking my traditional language, the nun or the priest would stick a sewing needle through my tongue because she said it is bad. When I tried to practice my songs or dances, the priest would break my legs with a hammer, then give me a toothbrush to wash the staircase while my bones dangled, as the more privileged children would be learning their ABCs and what 2 + 2 equaled. Each day became worse than the last. I starved every single day because the food we were given made me sick. I remember crying myself to sleep because I could hear the young girl beside me being sexually assaulted by the sick bastard who calls himself the son of God, also known as the priest. With every tasteless word he said, built more and more anger in my body. I wanted to kill him. After he left one night, this girl decided she couldn't handle anymore. Up in my eyes and watched at the very last second as she threw herself out the window. And all you could say the next day was killing the Indian in the child one day at a time. You had no empathy for the fact that a 5-year-old decided she wanted to die. You've come onto my land, stolen me, my brothers, and my sisters, and abused me for what reason? Because we don't act the way you do? We don't sit in our white living room, cross-legged, sipping chamomile tea with our pinkies in the air. We would rather be with our families, sharing legends, songs, and dances. Unity. In your eyes, we're dirty savages, and each and every one of us are going to hell because God can allow such filth in heaven. You think you're helping us by assimilation, you stupid pale face, you're wrong. You've made a mess of everything. I hate you. What have you done to us? There's nothing that I can say that will ever change what happened to my people. I have no way to get back what was stolen. I hate you. Gila Kesla, Nugwa Amgatu, Gayutlin Loch Lautsis Mount Tegila. My name is Letitia. I'm a First Nations woman from Alert Bay, BC, a part of the Kwakwaka'wakw Nation. Remember when you tried to take my culture? Well, guess what? It is more alive than you ever thought it would be. Everything that my people endured in the residential school just made us stronger than when you first met us. So I guess the joke's on you. This is not just my unfortunate past. It is carried on and uplifted as a legacy and a road to the future of reconciliation. I am still here. Thank you. This has been The Next Generation, a production by the Native Youth Program.
We would like to thank Quill and Teresa,
the Museum of Anthropology,
Karen Dufek and Tanya Willard,
CITR 101.9 FM, to all our guest speakers, and thank you, Musqueam.
For more info on the Native Youth Program, visit moa.ubc.ca/NYP.
We're taking the land which is rightfully ours. Years from now, my people will be forced to live in mobile homes on reservations. Your people will wear cardigans and drink highballs. We will sell our bracelets by the roadsides. You will play golf and enjoy hot hors d'oeuvres. My people will have pain and degradation. Your people will have stick shifts. The gods of my tribe have spoken. They have said, do not trust the pilgrims. And for all these reasons, I have decided to scalp you and burn your village to the ground.
Okay, well, thank you so much, all. That was so amazing and powerful, and I really can't wait to get into talking about the process of the podcast and the influences you guys had and what kind of impact it had on you and on all of our listeners now, too. So maybe we'll start with you, Carolina. So could you first tell us which piece in the tour that you had focused on for Lawrence Paul? Because maybe, I don't know if we said that, but each piece kind of correlates to one of the pieces that you've each chosen to tour. So which piece did you choose, and why were you particularly drawn to that?
The piece I chose is titled Fucking Creeps, They're Environmental Terrorists, and it was painted in 2013. I chose the piece mostly because I'm really engaged in politics. And I think it's really important that more people are aware of what goes on, especially with our government in Canada, because not a lot of people do. And the process that I went through, like Jennifer said earlier in the podcast, she introduced Quentin Nice. And his work is really intense, and I really like that. And so I wanted my piece to go about with that. My spoken word piece isn't just about me and my struggle, because I didn't go through all the hard times that earlier generations before me, like my mom's generation and her mom's generation. I was in the more leeway of a more open perspective on Native people. So I had first introduced it as myself, and then I went into more of an angrier state of mind, and I was telling a story about somebody else's perspective on how they went through the residential school and their impacts, because it is quite angry, my piece, and I did use a lot of profanity, mostly because it was easier for me to put myself in a place where I could tell the story, because it's not my story to tell exactly. It's someone else's that I want to carry on with that.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And I think it's great because it's so forceful and kind of take no prisoners, and it sets the tone for the piece that this is going to be a really, really strong piece. So would you want to talk about some of your experiences in the program throughout the past few months, maybe a little bit, and what you're going to take away from that, and what kind of this process of making the podcast has meant for you?
This podcast, I guess, the whole spoken word piece and like this whole program has really opened a lot of opportunities for me. I was never really involved in my culture before. I was more involved with my Honduran side, and I had just put off my Aboriginal half for a long time. And this this program, I'm surrounded by all these wonderful Aboriginal people, and they're all pretty active in their own cultures, and that helped me to sort of embrace both sides of who I am. And through the spoken word piece, I was just kind of a little like confused, I guess, on like how I want to do it. And then it just came out to this like pretty angry, intense piece that I was kind of happy about.
Yeah.
And this program has just meant a lot to me. I've met like really good people here,
and I was introduced to a lot more opportunities that I probably wouldn't have gotten on my own. And I think the thing I'm gonna take away from this program is just the bonds that I've made with everybody here. Like, we've all gotten like pretty close in the past 7 weeks, and it's crazy that it's almost over. So, yeah.
Well, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. Maybe we can turn to Jennifer now, and we can speak a little bit about your piece. What I like about your piece is, like, it's kind of experimental and kind of structurally really, really interesting. So maybe you could talk a little bit about what the premise behind your piece was and some of the effects that you used in it.
Okay, my piece was based on the piece I did for the tours we were doing, which is called The Urban Res, painted in 1998.
No worries. Why don't you just talk about, like, so that was the premise and the basis, but maybe could you talk a little bit about the intro where we have these two people speaking to one another and what your idea behind that was?
Okay, what I kind of wanted to do was a child going to an elder for a story of what they remember from, like, when reserves were being put in place. And I kind of just played around with the voices with the time we were given. I just put different voices, and I did different, like, filters on the voices to try to get the sound I wanted.
Yeah. So was the production experience that you got at CITR, like, that was something that was valuable to you to, like, play around with and try to communicate things, like, through that?
It was. I really enjoyed the program as a whole, and I also liked the different workshops we did. And the working with CITR, it was really fun, and we got to see what it was like to be producing.
Yeah, and now we have this, like, incredible document that you've all, like, produced, right, and that people can access and listen to, so I think it's pretty special. Okay, maybe we can talk to you a little now, Dusty, about what your experience was and the kind of the process and maybe some of the obstacles that you encountered, like, doing the spoken word and producing the podcast. So, maybe you could first tell us which piece you used from the Lawrence Paul exhibit.
So my piece is loosely based on the painting called Red Man Watches White Man Trying to Fix Hole in the Sky, created in 1990.
And so what drew you to that particular piece, and then how did that influence your own spoken word?
So originally what drawn me to the piece is the colors that Lawrence used and the interesting way that he's combined traditional Northwest Coast First Nations art and making it three-dimensional in the painting. I chose to present it mainly because I thought, as the first piece, as part of the tour, can be more focused on environmentalism and make it so everybody could relate to it before you get to more personal pieces throughout the tour.
That's one thing that is really amazing about the tours, is that they're so expansive in touching on a number of issues that Indigenous nations and people encounter, like, for instance, by introducing them to the concept of environmentalism and climate change and the issues that arise from resource extraction, which happens on Indigenous lands. So there's some pretty, you wrote some pretty powerful lines, I thought, in your piece where you're talking about trees don't grow on trees and the depths of my perception. Do you want to talk a little bit about what the process of thinking through those lines and how those lines were influenced by the particular piece you chose?
I have not finalized my process in writing because I still need to work on that, but my process usually is to find words that relate to the topic and define it. Like, so usually I find words that I don't know completely, so, like, the depth of my perspective, I found that through a definition.
But I thought it was a pretty powerful metaphor about what happens when through deforestation and the perspectives that we lose when we don't have those roots or groundedness. So I really took a lot away from that. And so, yeah, I thank you for sharing that. Okay, maybe we can turn to Calvin now. Calvin, do you want to speak about what your piece was titled and why you were initially drawn to it?
For the piece that I did for my spoken word, it was called Gone Green. It was a play on Lawrence Pauly Hueyotin's Ovoid series, but what I took it as, it looks like a close-up of his foresting work, and it kind of looks like trees, but what I saw is it looks like up close, like cells. So I kind of did a play for how cells are indigenous as well, like bringing science and art together, kind of.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about, like, in the tour that you toured the piece called, what's the title of your piece?
Transformation of Bill Wilson.
Mm-hmm. And it discusses self-government, and I was thinking about that in terms of, like, what it means to be kind of sovereign and in control of your own body right down to, like, a molecular level. And I think that's a really amazing and powerful image, thinking through, the connection between science and art. And just like Carolina's piece kind of discussed, like, the connection between politics and art, there's a lot going on in that. But maybe we could talk a little bit about kind of the different sounds that you use. So how did you get the inspiration to use the guitar, and who's playing the guitar in your particular piece?
I am actually playing the guitar, and I kind of just like playing guitar, and I figured it'd be, like, the easiest way to produce some background noise without having to, like, search anything on the internet. So it's, like, kind of, I could be, like, sort of original and, like, my own, instead of, like, not stealing, but using other people's work.
Mm-hmm. And I think it turned out really beautifully, and it really suits, like, the piece well to have that kind of really, really beautiful guitar, but also in like, an angry and strong piece. And I think that that's one thing that has, like, tied a lot of your pieces together in the podcast, is the notion of, there's a lot of notions about trauma and things, but there's also almost every one of them deals with resilience and, like, the strength that comes from identity. So that was a pretty powerful thing for me to listen to. Do you want to speak a few words about your piece, Isaiah, and how it all came together?
So what I did is kind of based on the painting that Lawrence Pauly Hueyotin is a painting's called Spirit Dancer Dances Around the Fire. And I kind of I kind of did like a little bit of what we do at Apollach, because what I usually say with that painting is what I think of it, and I say that that we still practice these protocols today, and it wasn't just in the past. And then we're going to continue to practice them in the future.
Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool to see, like, you be walked sonically through the notion of a potlatch. And I remember in some of your tours, you talk about, the importance of recognizing that these aren't practices that did happen in the past, and how important ceremony is. So maybe you could talk a little bit about your own experiences with some of those ceremony, how you came to that, and what they've ended up meaning to you. Maybe in the tour you talk a little bit about the canoe journeys and, like, doing and coming to the big house and things like that.
Yeah, it's our way of life. Like, it's the way we live, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that piece is also interesting because it's so monumental, right? Like, I always think that when you go see that exhibit, it's so massive, and it's pretty cool that someone took it on, and the way that you speak about it is always, so, so powerful. And it's just also so much fun to kind of hear some of the songs, and everyone is tapping along, right? And, like, that's a part of it too, right? Is, like, having a culture like that, or... Yeah, okay. So maybe, Leticia, do you want to talk a bit about your piece and how you came to it and what it means to you?
All right, so I chose a painting called Portrait of a Residential Schoolgirl. painted by Lawrence Pollyo Quilipton in 2013. And I chose it because it's something that really sits in my heart. It's something that I'm very passionate about because, yeah, it is what our people went through, and it's we all endured it, and we all still feel the intergenerational impacts. But I just thought it would bring awareness, and it did through the tours. It did bring awareness, and it just feels like it can't be hidden anymore. It's not our secret. It's not our people's secret anymore. And, yeah.
But yeah, what we were talking about a little earlier was how I was thinking about yours and Isaiah's pieces. Like Isaiah's like talks about how much strength is coming from ceremony and from tradition, and that there's kind of maybe in mainstream kind of discourse talking about the residential schools as strictly as a site of trauma, but your piece refuses to kind of end on that. Like I like how there's a really angry tone to the initial part, right, about all the, atrocities that are committed through residential school system, but it doesn't end there, and you show that your nation is still, strong, resilient, and is actually getting stronger and stronger by the day, and that those experiences, are in the process, even though there's intergenerational effects of them, that, just you're still here, and you're still proud to be from your nation, right? And so I think that's a really powerful thing. Did you structure it that way on purpose, or was it something that just you intuitively knew that, this is how the story had to conclude, not just with all the tragedies?
It kind of fell into place because my family, we went through all of this, and my grandmother went through this, and my grandfather went through this, and it's like at that time they were victims of the residential school, but this generation right now, we're not victims, we're products. And because we're products, we have to do something about it. We can't play victims anymore. We have to pick up the pieces, and we have to put them all together again so that we can take back what was rightfully ours. And so it just pretty much fell into place. It's just something that I knew was right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's another interesting thing about so many of the different of your spoken word pieces weren't just talking about you or yourselves, like Isaiah's piece is talking about community, right? And a lot of you also ended up talking about multiple generations, right? And I think that's a really powerful thing that you all tied all of your relations into that, right? Like following the theme of art, my relations, and how important that was to so many of the spoken word pieces. So maybe I'd just like to conclude by, saying thank you. I think that you've all done really, really amazing work, and it's been so powerful and great to have you in the studio today. And I just think, I can't say thank you enough for producing this. It's really powerful, and it's been like an amazing experience to get to know all of you. So thank you. Maybe I'll conclude by saying the exhibit that the NYP has been touring is the Unceded Territories at MOA, and it opened on May 10th, and it's open till October 16th, 2016. So if you get an opportunity, that would be really amazing to go check out. I don't know, I think you guys are done for tours, right? But yeah, you missed the tours, too bad, but you can still go see the show and kind of see some of the pieces that have kind of inspired this really, really strong work. So thank you all so much. And maybe we'll close with a Boogie the Beat song. That sounds good. We'll close with Hoka. Okay, thank you.
And here they come, ladies and gentlemen, the future.
Boogie the Beat.